Aloha. Welcome to the Carol Cox Show, right here on talk808.com. You can contact us by going to EnviroWatch at EnviroWatch.org or EnviroWatch.org or Carol Cox at CarolCox.com and send us emails or tips or insight, information. And if you, hopefully, no corrections, but if there are, we welcome those too, because we are not trying to create problems. We're trying to help solve problems. And in that vein, there's a lot been going on, and we've talked about it for a while now, the state of affairs here with the state and with the government-run operations. It's a business, and everything is done for business. They say, well, we can make some money on this, so we can rent this land out and lease it out and make some money. And many of those leases are so minuscule amount of money that is collected, it's not worth it. So we have a blight that are impacting the entire state here. Whether it's politics, it's a hybridization of things that we all talk about and we all fear: corruption, dishonesty, lying, cheating, taxes, false promises by politicians who get in and going to correct it, and when you find out what they do, they've actually made it more convoluted or more criminal. And what I witness now is the actual intentional act to deprive the public or the people of the state the right to transparency of the government, the right to have say in their government, and the right to be free of harassment and harsh, heavy-handed behavior tactics on the part of the state government or city government. But lately, we've been focusing on TMT or Mount Akeel. If you know anybody out there and want to talk about, pitch in, we'll entertain you and welcome your calls. 808-782-6627. Well, new development. Now, you saw that the state found it necessary to take a chainsaw and a backhoe and I guess any kind of hoe that would do at this time to get rid of the quote problem. When then the problem is innate, the problem is it's indelible. That problem is the robbing of the native people of Hawaii and the disrespect. Now, I know many of you out there have your own opinions and all, and that's good. It's healthy like that. But some of you are short-sighted or misinformed or just don't want to be informed, and it's just you just have a habit of basically taking your views and projecting them on others. And when you get the number of people that you see that are supporting, participating in this TMT, I'll call it a movement, but it's more than that. It's been there a long time. There have been Hawaiian people demanding the rights, even the overthrow, and no one's listening to them. So the TMT is not a rebirth of Hawaiians or there. This is yet another piece of paper or an opportunity that they can project on to try and show the world just how hurtful it is. And we saw it in the civil rights movement. Whenever you strike down at, if Dr. Martin Luther King was out doing whatever, and encouraging people to stand up and demand their rights and rid ourselves of racism and unfair practices in life. They taped, wiretaped, photographed, manipulated his statements. So it's to be expected. Don't be shocked. Don't be moved or discouraged that you're not going to get the government entities to run up and say, well, you're right, we're lying, we cheated on you, we stole from you. It's not going to happen. And I say that because with some sufficient understanding and knowledge of that, they're just not going to undo the screw that they've screwed down. They're not going to do it because this is a way of life for them. This is the economy. It's a way of controlling things. And you are subject, like I am, to many of these hurtful practices. So how do they do this? How do they impact you? How do they take from you and then deny you the right to even protest and object openly or overtly? Well, they do it by a variety of ways, but we're going to talk about one and just show you. And I let me say something right up front. We've been digging on the DLNR for some while, and I use that term digging in their backyards or looking for the skeletons. But in this day and age, there are no skeletons. These are walking, living thieves that are willing to be promoted at the cost of the people, at the cost of the mission, at the cost of the culture. And those of you that have interacted with the DLNR and its conservation officers and its forestry and wildlife people and the biologists and aquatics people, I have had nothing but 100, well, I'd say the exception of William Isla and Suzanne Case and the likes of them, we'll put them aside for right now. But let's be fair and let's understand something. These are men and women, citizens of the state. They serve in the United States military. They serve as policemen. They served in the Army. They served, and some of them are still active duty. But the way they are treated by the civilians such as Suzanne Case and people like William Isla and what have you, it's as if they don't have any rights. And how it's fragmented in such a way that how do you strip and treat the game wardens? We'll call them game wardens or conservation officers. How do you strip them of the standards and the quality that is afforded to everybody? And you create this house of rules and practices that wouldn't stand up if they were reviewed by the courts. The racism, the prejudices, the sexism, and all of that. Suzanne Case has whitenized the DLNR, so to speak. Native people, or local people we'll call, were excluded, qualified, and what have you. And the way they have been treating the people here, it's as if they've committed a crime or has a stench about them or something that prevents them or precludes them from participating in the normal functioning. They might go out and tell that you're stealing from the people, so you don't hire them. They might be just downright don't like brown-skinned people or people of Asian ancestry or what have you. Now, if you're upset about it and disturbed and have a problem with that, I'd suggest you eat a couple of bananas. It's good for monkey business. So, but the reality is, what I'm getting at is that the people that work for the DLNR are good people, honest people. The game wardens that you see are good people, honest people. They're not thugs. They're just led by thugs, people who see the big prize of the big piece of pie in the sky, and they came to get it by being appointed by their friends. And then the governor, let's say, for example, this house that was built, this small building or whatever, we won't bother to try and qualify it. But there are certain rules. When there's a violation of DHHL lands, now you go out and there's due process. So if someone built a structure on Big Island, there was a senator who had some questions about structures. We've talked about several places on the various islands where there was illegal structures built on DHHL land, and these were years ago and they still stand. But in this situation with this little house, they had to immediately tear it down, and they were tearing it down not because it pose a health risk or threat, safety hazard to anyone or anybody. But it was to say, we are the man. So stopping short of coming in with a sheet over your head and a hood with torches, it's the same thing. Cutting of the flag. I don't have to tell you that that's offensive. Many people have said it's offensive. I don't have to tell you that. They're telling you that. Yet, due process. There is senators, state representatives that have had violations on their land lease or had structures wrong, and they were Native Hawaiians and not. But they were in the good. They were political. The governor or the government at that time, or the government, the people that manages, didn't go in and tear those houses down. DHHL has a number of abandoned houses or homes that are in ruins, empty. They're not being rented for whatever reason or being habitated. Don't know. But they didn't rush in and tear them up. The mega homes or the homes that you see that are in the news now, they didn't go over and raise those houses or those buildings. But when it comes to the Hawaiian community, it's as if we need to show them the heavy-handed tactics, no tolerance for anything. You step out of line, boy, you are going to be put in your place. That's what it is. It's if it's something other than that, please share with me and tell me what it is, because there's just example after example after example that say to me, why didn't they do it in Kunia? There's an entire encampment up there with houses flourishing, blossoming up and building and exceeding the standards and the codes and what have you, and using state property in some instances. They didn't go and raise that. So what you're seeing is many of the people that are inflicting this injury on the Hawaiian community, not just white people or people, but there are people of color, so the puzzle presents itself is that, don't you have a heart? Don't you have a conscience? Don't you have something in you that clicks that says, well, I don't like this. It disrupts the flow of the money that's coming in, and my golden parachute or my friends, or we're going to make money. It's going to be good for the economy. But still, you can't abandon due process. You cannot deny people due process. You cannot just inject yourself and say, well, we're declaring that it's a violation. at least be respectful and be consistent and afford those people the same. Well, no, it wouldn't be the same, because if we were able to track it back, we'd see some people were getting special favors or kickbacks in these mega houses, in these mega apartments, I'm sorry. So that's the long and short of that, and there's much more to it, but I look at it and I see racism. I see a government that's heavy-handed. I see a government that says, well, you know, we have basic practices. There's a law that says you can have documents. You can have access to them within the normal workday. Go into the office and check. We have a UIPA office who is supposed to be able to protect those interests and make sure that states and entities that you make requests of provide those documents. But yet, you can't even rely on that agency. It will lie, steal, and cheat. It will take 7 weeks, 7 months to respond to you, and the response that you get is that, well, we're overwhelmed with work, so you might want to, do you seriously want to keep this complaint, or you still want those documents? But it will take your complaint, well, you already have the complaint, but we need to hear from you in 7 days. So what I'm getting at is that there's a due process when it comes to government. It's at their convenience. They understand, well, the process is we'll have to notify them that in 7 days. But if it's raising a building, knocking it down, that Hawaiians have put up as part of the statement of protest or whatever it is, or who knows? I don't know. I haven't been that intimate to understand what it was for. But the basic elements are there. If you afford everyone else who has a lawyer and you walk around searching and struggling to make sure you don't step on their toes and you don't get sued and what have you with the mega houses or monster homes, you walk very careful. So where is the state's legal arm that is supposed to be protecting the native people or their interests? Where is the entity that is supposed to protect me? I find it to be an affront. I find it to be vile and unpalatable and a violation of my rights by witnessing that. I live in a free country. It's a democratic system. What next? Me? You? But anyway, moving along, it all will come into full circle and you'll understand. It's about civil rights, about ethics, about understanding and appreciating people and not things. And speaking of that in that vein, you may have seen on Carol Cox's Facebook, we posted a story up where there's an officer, a conservation officer, and this conservation officer is not the subject, is not the point that I care to use to illustrate. But it is the facts and the reality. These are good people. The gentleman that we're going to be talking about is a good man, a good person. But the point is, it's the institution that he works for that tolerates such behavior and invites such a behavior and conceals such behavior and covers up such behavior as we're going to be describing here. Each and every one of the men and women that you see wearing the uniform of the Department of Land and Natural Resources, I'll tell you, I'll trust any of them. It's just when you get up into that management, I don't know what happened. Some make it and get selected and elected and appointed, and then you see the things coming out of their offices and their willingness to participate and lie, steal, and cheat and cover up and then violate the rights of others with no impunity, no sense of, well, you know, this is wrong. They get carried along by the corrupt current. And so while I don't call them corrupt, and I know they're nice people, but they should be a little more careful of just seeing a bus going down the road and everybody's dressed in a sheet and a hood and got a fire stick in their hand, and you join them. You should know better. You don't have to hop on that bus and go along with them. What about stepping off that bus and summoning others that have the capacity of enforcing the law and warning them and tell them, but instead you keep quiet, you promote others, you conceal it, and then you run off to Mauna Kea and you make $20,000 a week or whatever it is, some outrageous, stupid amount of money that they're paying the officers from Oahu to be over there on Mauna Kea. So the person is Conservation Officer Michael Harkin. Mr. Harkin has been with DLNR for some time, and he's worked his butt off. I mean, he's been around, and I say that because the system should have, would have, or should not have kept him on if he wasn't producing. So I'm going to give him the respect and say that he was doing what it was necessary to fulfill his duties. But somewhere along the way, Mr. Harkin, or Conservation Officer Harkin, lost his driver's license. When I say lost, expired, or didn't have a new driver's license, or didn't renew something. I don't know all the details. So Mr. Harkin is assigned a truck like many of the officers are, the conservation officers. I like to always call them a hot mobile because they're loaded with red lights and sirens. And he's armed with a weapon like many others. He qualifies. He's rightfully to carry on a weapon and what have you. He has a badge on the side of his truck and the red lights and blue lights and white lights. So he's a law enforcement officer. So somewhere along the way, and again, I have personally myself driven down the road and forget that I'm supposed to have gone in a week ago to have my safety check. Man, I go nuts. And I think I had one it was 2 days late, and unbeknownst to me, I'd forgotten, and I got a citation for it, that, but was able to go to court and show that I had the valid thing taken care of. Well, Mr. Harkin was cited in October 31st of 2018 for no valid driver's license and a couple of other citations issued as well, charges. And apparently didn't take care of it or took care of it. It is still an active case now. Mr. Harkin, conservation officer, goes and continues to drive because he's an officer and he needs a truck and he does patrols, and then he's promoted to lieutenant or was a supervisor and then an acting supervisor, and we'll talk about some of the details there. But Officer Harkins got a ticket again in September 4th of this year, 2019. And He was continued to drive with no license. He had an accident on the 4th of September this year, this month. And again, cited for no license. So having two outstanding cases of driving without a license and numerous other violations. And if you want to confirm this, I know I don't know what it is, but there's some stupid disease that's flowing around that you get people when you tell them, you hand them their birth certificate, and they're so stupid nowadays that they say, oh, that's fake. Well, then if your birth certificate is fake, then you must be fake. That's how absurd it's gotten. So to avoid those people that like to cry, it's fake, go to eCourts Kokua. That is the state of Hawaii's judiciary management system. And you can get the records yourself. So I don't want to see any texts and emails and saying it's fake news and fake this. You know, the only thing fake about this is the people that are leading you and calling you themselves managers and chairmen and directors and deputy directors and governors. That's fake, because there's an element of concern here that you're supposed to be protecting and advancing and guarding against the erosion of a democracy. And if that democracy is supposed to be something as simple as making sure that transparency is afforded, making sure that the facts are given to the public. You don't have to assemble the facts and get in a truck and run around and blow your horn and say, facts here, everybody, here's your facts. Don't have to do that. But when the public exercise their rights or make a request, then that information should be readily available without obstruction or without delay. So it's unfortunate that Mr. Harkin has to deal with this. 9/4/2019, driving without a valid driver's license. That's what it says on the court records. Then a delinquent vehicle tax. No current safety check. Now this was in a state vehicle. That one is a 10/31/2018. We don't know if that was his private vehicle or, but 24/19, driving without a valid driver's license, 9/4/2019. So that's Mr. Harkin. And that's not to demonize him, these are the facts. The insult comes is going back up the stream, up the ladder, to those that call themselves managers. Those that get compensated handsomely, financially, as managers. So I'm told, and I dare any of those silly people that have called me up or go to the TV stations and go, well, you know, the claims he's making right now is not accurate. So here's my claim. I'm informed that each occasion that you are cited for a promotion and you get promoted, the process that precedes that is that you have to be vetted. Basically, check out if you're stable financially, if you're not in a compromised position that you'd be bribed or what have you, or that you may go loony one day. And if you're a helicopter pilot working for the agency, you don't just go flying into a hill, whatever. So the declaration is we paid them $186, them being each conservation officer. And basically it's described to me as a standard of conduct. That's beyond above the salary now, the normal salary. So they get $186 a month for being good soldiers, being good people. And which I think it's pretty cool because they are good people. But they're not free of the corruption on top that lends itself to beckoning them. Hey, come on in here. You'll get rewarded if you want to lie, steal, and cheat. We'll appoint you as the director. What do you mean you can't swim? Well, I can't swim. I'm just too heavy. I can't swim. Oh, don't worry. That makes you a good candidate for the chief of this agency. How many times have you been written a ticket or a conservation officer? Really, to go ahead. Not very long. Oh, then you're perfect for this job. Welcome aboard, Mr. Administrative Director. And that's what we have. Who else would you like to bring as your deputies? Oh, I picked that guy. Oh, but that guy has no driver's license. And this guy here, okay, he was a supervisor, but he was supposed to vet. He was the supervisor of Mr. Harkin. Was supposed to vet him. Now, I know someone told me that, well, it's the HRS, Human Resources Division, is supposed to do that. Yeah, that's right. They are. And so are the managers. Because at some point, remember that $186? And forget the $186 for standard of good conduct. Just how about just being an honest ass man and saying, you know, can I close the door? Take off your hat and you rub the hat band thin because you're standing there. You got to declare that, well, you know, I'm the supervisor here and I supervise men. And, what I do is basically I drive every day and I don't have a license. What do you mean you don't have a license? It expired or whatever reason. Did that process take place? Did that conversation take place? Don't know. But it should have. So it should start with Mr. Harkin saying, you know, look. And I don't know if he did or didn't tell his boss. If he did, good for him. If he didn't, bad for him. And if he did, then shame on the supervisor. And so what I'm about to say is that this is the same system that I brought to your attention. The workplace violent charges against another individual, Carlton Helms, we've talked about on here, who has a lawsuit for a civil rights violation. He's not guilty of anything. It's just a charge in a court case now. Let's make sure we understand that. But he was accused, and it's alleged that he committed workplace violence. He also were punished and received some days off for prior workplace violence. Now, this is in a place where there's zero tolerance. But if you're led by thieves and people that are conflicted and just came to work for the state to get themselves a good piece of the pie and their friends a good piece of the pie, and the former organizations are there, they step out of the head of the position and then run the DLNR, and then when it's over, step back into their position. So now let me explain how this all works. Mr. Harkin gets promoted to TA, temporary acting supervisor, let's say. And now I don't know all of the details because, again, you're dealing with a secret agency that is leave us with that warm and fuzzy feeling that they are going, if there's a deer trapped in a brush that's on fire, he takes his shirt off and runs in there and beat the fire out and grab Bambi and voila, the best visual you've ever seen in your life. That's the game warden. Or you see him take out a snake out of the tree, barehanded, return it, take it back and get it out of the trap or whatever. Someone's poaching, release him back. That's a game warden. That's that image. But here in Hawaii, it seems to be repeating itself, and there's something about it. And I know there's a practice in the major media that they don't talk about suicides and what have you of individuals. But let me tell you something. It is happening. It has repeated itself just a week ago, 2 weeks ago in the Department of Land and Natural Resources Conservation Office on Kauai. It happened when Isla was around in on the Big Island. So I'm not here to tell you about the suicide. I'm here to say that these guys that's supposed to have the welfare and the well-being of the officers, which translates into good policing by these men and women who interact with the public, who has a responsibility to protect our natural resources. But if they're all stressed because of whatever reason, and you don't have a manual or any policy, standard operating policy, formally, that a person can walk in your office, or don't even have to walk in your office, make a declaration or make a request to seek counseling, to obtain counseling, then you have failed the people. But it's not just a commonplace failure in the workplace. This is an adulteration of, in its worst sense. You have an obligation. You know that there's stresses that goes with law enforcement. You know that. And you have the ability and the authority and the responsibility to make sure that these men and women get this kind of care, be afforded that. And all that you can do is be able to find how to bring your nieces and nephews and your cousins and your friends to get a job with the DLNR. So, along the way, I'm hoping that one of these yehus come up and say to me, well, you know, I heard your show. You weren't accurate about what you claim about us being on probation may not be, it was not accurate. No, my response is be, you're not fired yet? Because at some point, someone has to take, you can't take our money as public entity and then give us bull in return and then have the audacity to argue with us or take us around the rabbit hole and then you disappear because you've talk, but then no walk. And you're leaving the officers in shambles. All that you could think of is, what kind of uniform we're going to put on? Oh, let's, Suzanne Case brought in Robert Farrell. Robert Farrell decided to, let's just make this look like California, baby. California uniform? Yeah. California hat? Yeah. California dreaming? Yeah. But the problem is, this isn't California. The problem is, this is, you're worried about a uniform that you're putting on people that are possibly mentally impacted for whatever reasons, the hardships, the conditions of the job, the fear that any given time, if they don't do what you want them to do, or there's some, you don't like something, or that person interacted with, that officer took an action against your friend, and you strip him of his rights as an officer and put him on ROPA, on mundane pettiness. When it's your job, and this is why I say it's corrupt, and they're liars and cheats, because it's their job to protect our fragile and pristine environment that we have left. These are rare species nowhere else on the planet. And yet, you look at, if you made an honest assessment of these people, you would have to ask yourself, how do they even put on their belts in the morning to go to work when they know they work for thugs, liars, and cheats? So what you have is, you have a climate or an environment where an officer who drives a hot car, who at any time may be in pursuit with the red lights and the blue lights and the white lights that's going, and it says law enforcement officer, and he got no damn license. How about that? How about the training that it would take for evasive actions and accidents and high-speed chases? Do they get that kind of training? That's where the corruption, folks, is. When you know that you get funded and you know the purpose, and these officers are there as part of the effort to protect our resources. It's not a game. It's not. They're not just there because someone said, you know what, we ought to have some fish cops. Yeah. And speaking of fish cops, we should have some fish cops. Yeah, that's all right. It's negative description of them, but it's not. I've been called as a game warden a fuzz cop, you know, bunny cop, Bambi cop. You know, but it's okay. But here in Hawaii, communications, they don't allow you to work routinely through the night when people are putting gill nets out, poaching. You might have an occasional one, but the greater emphasis is that I said it helps their friends make money. Now, they can't find, don't want to pay the per diem or whatever there's a term for the excessive amount of money you get paid extra or whatever to subsidize the night patrol. They don't have enough money for that to have a full hearty patrol of at nighttime and holidays and what have you. Because on a Friday or holiday where there's fireworks, oh, my goodness, they can muster up men and women with guns and badges and white trucks with red lights and blue lights, and they'll be right there because that's special duty and it gets them a little pay, extra pay for being on special duty. But who's protecting the resources, the natural resources? Who's patrolling for gill nets? So when I say corruption, see, I don't mean the management take $100 and say, well, go ahead and fish and don't worry about a license. I'll keep my officers out of that district. Don't worry. Just go ahead and do what you got to do. You know, not that kind of corruption. The corruption in its worst form is that when you have taken an oath and you say you're going to uphold the law and you violate that condition, that's corruption to me. You knowingly, because you're not just the average Joe. You have this. So when you're Suzanne Case, it seems that everything related to her interests, oh, and in the environmental community, oh, baby, she's on it. Sam Gong, they're on it. Taking matters off the board minutes and not affording the calendar it to be calendared, or just at the last minute taking it off the calendar and won't be heard at her discretion because the board voted to allow her to do that, that's corruption. Safeguards in place, non-existent. Corruption is putting people and officers on a helicopter that is paid for by government money, government function, government use, and you use that to go up and collect fish for your wedding. And that means you're violating that, and then when you bring it to the attention of Suzanne Case, no problem. It's we'll look into it. You write the governor, no problem. We're looking. They don't even respond. But damn, I was shocked to see the breakneck speed that was exhibited on tearing that building down. I've written the governor about the illegal dumping of soil, highly contaminated soil at Radford High School, at the school right next door to it, and not a damn thing been done to address that or even respond to me. So I know this is hodgepodge and I'm tossing around a lot, but this is the perfect example, the perfect climate to talk about corruption. So Mr. Harkins get promoted to lieutenant. That was another occasion that he needed to or had to or could have said, boss, look, I got a ticket for driving with no license. Can I get a horse from you to patrol? Or maybe a jackass would do, or whatever, but I can't drive a car. Well, let's figure this out now. Okay, you're driving without a license? Yes, sir. Well, we can put you on light duty. That's one option. Or, you know, we have a standard of a code of ethics that we have, and you get $186 a month for good conduct, and you're required to report any interaction such as this that rise to this level, or any action that you've had with a former, or with a police department or an official, something that may, at a minimum, they used to say, that may cause some public attention to the agency in a negative fashion. You have an obligation to tell that to your supervisor. But what if the climate is that if everybody up in the supervisory level has gotten something given to them, they become corrupt, shut up, hush up, and then, not to mention, recall me teaching and telling you about the use of scramblers on the GPS system in the trucks. We talked about that about 2 years ago and again at another time, and number of the officers we were learning that had those installed in the truck is being investigated by the Attorney General's office, thank God. And some of them are stepping out, retiring early or wanting to retire early. My wish is that if you were stealing from the people, you can run, but you can't hide. You need to be prosecuted. Because not only did you lie to the people that you were here when you were really over there, and then over there had nothing to do with your job, or why else would you need a scrambler? And not only that, you are part of a system that when your fellow officer falls victim to an assault or an attack, you can be the first person to respond because you know the district and you know, but if you're somewhere that you're not supposed to be, but your scrambler says you're there. That's horrendous behavior. It's offensive. You should be fired and prosecuted. So you take all of this, and other people were competing for the job that Mr. Harkin got for the lieutenant job. And what happened? They didn't get it. Now, you would think that if it was a fair process and a viable selection process and promoting, you would think everything would be on the table, Okay, Harkin, you're 6 foot tall, and the other guy is 6 foot tall. So that means save the agency money. We don't need to buy a ladder for you to get up on the second shelf there. Okay. All righty. You look good, and you look like you can walk and talk and chew gum at the same time. So can the other guy. But wait, did you say that you didn't have a driver's license? No, I didn't. Okay, well, that disqualifies you right now already. And by the way, after this meeting, turn in your gun and badge because you failed to disclose something that is as important as that, and that's embarrassing to the agency. And then how can you think that we would tolerate you driving without a license? And then finding yourself out there driving the state truck, patrol truck, or the hot truck, the official issued truck, with your gun and badge on, and you're giving tickets to people while you have two outstanding tickets for driving without a license. So whoever's in the chain, Jason Radula, who's the administrator, should be fired. Warner Taniguchi should be fired. No offense, nothing personal. But let's step back for a moment and understand that this is a public agency. This is the people's interest, not your interest. So when you fail to detect, that says you're not skilled, or you don't have the interest, or you have the willingness to be corrupt, or you have the willingness to attempt to corrupt someone else, hire someone that is less likely to be ethical because you compromise him by hiring him and saying, hey, now this is just between you and us. We know you don't have a license. You're going to be the lieutenant, but you must show some allegiance to us, brother. Now, I don't know if that's the truth, and I'm not going to portray that as being the facts. But I would say this, if you're in the chain of command and something as hideous as this occurs, presents itself, you have an obligation to act and be quick about it. And so not only was he giving tickets to people for the infractions or violations, no driver's license, how do you bring yourself, how do you get out of your patrol car or leave home going to work and says, I'm going to patrol today and I'm going to find me some folks driving without a license? Now, is he being mean-spirited and think that misery loves company, so he's going to do it for that cause? Or is it that the agency and its leadership values arresting people? When I say arrest, a citation is arrest, as I've been taught. But you arresting people for driving without a license, but where's your tickets about protecting the snail or people up there taking pictures and picking up the snails and handling them? You can't hike up there because you're just overweight. How about swimming and looking at people doing aquarium fish and doing an investigation? Well, the administrator can't swim, or it hadn't demonstrated that he can on his, as I understand, as his physical fitness test. So why would Suzanne Case and David Ige allow these people to be appointed and hired and promoted and elevated to these levels? Because they can pick up the phone and say, I need you to send me a crew to Mauna Kea. I need you to get over here to do this and serve as a security guard. Well, I don't have anybody. Well, allow Harkin to become the acting branch chief, and then the acting branch chief settles down, Mr. Harkin, and then you go off. As a branch chief, you go get assigned to the big island on Mauna Kea to beat the natives down. And while you're at it, take Jason Redullo with you because he's the chair, the head of the agency. So, well, what about the guy driving with no license? Oh, don't worry about it. If anybody asks questions, look, we run the shop. This is our baby. We're the government. I'm the gov. I'm the chairman. We what we say goes. And so I'm here to tell you guys, if you're listening, Governor, Miss Suzanne Case, clearly there's a lot more honest people working for DLNR than the people that you are promoting and hiring and expecting them to cover up and muddy up the path of the water for you so that the public can't see and get a good visual. When you put someone in a position that's compromised, your entire system is affected with compromise. When you place greater emphasis on getting a uniform on how they look, the overt look or the outward look in the presentation, but you don't know what's going on in their minds or their hearts because they're fearful that they've gotten trapped in a position that if they say boo, you know they're going to see you with a pen in hand saying, I'm putting you on ROPA. Right now, I understand there's 3-4 ROPA being relieved of police authority, administration or authority, we'll call it ROPA. And they use that like the Pope used holy water. Just sprinkle it all over the place. And what does that say? You're a corrupt agency. You're a corrupt entity. When you bring people down to their knees that should be walking tall with a sparkling badge representing the interests of the people, protecting the interests of the people. But no, you beat them down so bad that all that you want to know is that, can I pick up my bag and my luggage because the governor wants me over there to beat down on the Hawaiians and I'll make $20,000 a week? That's corruption, folks. And don't mind going back and figuring out what it is really you're doing. But it was laughable initially when I looked at this. These citations when I was first notified. But then it struck a more serious vein. This speaks to everything that's evil about the DLNR. When you think that it is more important to teach people how to use assault weapons and wear a green uniform and look like a cop, aggressive cop. Hey, let me tell you something about being a game warden. You're the same as any other police officer, but you have a greater task. You have to walk tall, look clean, walk, carry a gun, carry handcuffs, carry mace, but you can't just use it on anybody that's violating the law. In your mind, you must be prepared to know that there anybody that you find violating the law, it does not arise to the level of taking out your pepper spray and spraying them or taking out your baton and beating them for a fish that was 1 inch too short. That's being prepared, mentally prepared. But what if you are dealing with someone that's just waiting, like you just see a pair of eyes watching you like a predator? That if you go out and do work, and you're motivated to do work, and provide protection to the environment, and you've learned that those at work get punished, those that don't work get promoted, those that will drive around with cars with no license get promoted. You tell me what part of that contributes to people taking, officers taking their guns and putting it in their mouth and eating it. And we have a governor who dare would only respond when the public speaks ill of him or criticizes him. He shows up with the person who says in the same news story that gonna sue someone. Well, I would like to see the governor say, well, he has a right to sue anybody he wants to, but the public has a right to ask me and hold me accountable, and I'm going to be removing myself, and I don't want to suggest or infer that I'm part of this project, this program. So, if you want to see corruption, do a drive-by and look at the Department of Land and Natural Resources, headed by David Ige, appointed Suzanne Case. We've told you about her conflicts with the Nature Conservancy, where we see and we and the people that have been appointed to the board that had relationship with the Nature Conservancy. We've told you about that. We've told you about the helicopter. We've told you about Suzanne Case putting together, falsely representing that there's this major illegal shipment and sale and market of Oli or sea cucumber, when in fact they were knowingly issuing licenses since 1950s, as we showed in place on carolcox.com. Documents obtained, receipts obtained, and reports obtained from the Aquatics Division, DLNR, showed that there was an actual industry, but she described it as an illegal industry, just to get motivated because they have a community fisheries enforcement unit that failed on Maui. What is corruption? Corruption is when you have this unit and you get the praise of Neil Abercrombie saying it's a success, but it, not one boat has been started up. He wrote a declaration, proclamation, proclaiming its success when it hadn't even left the shore. But private money was infused into that program with the intent of getting more money through the legislators, but they made grand promises. And now where is that community fisheries enforcement unit? Here's where the corruption comes. So you have one or two officers in that they ride around and most of their tickets were parking tickets, not community-based fisheries enforcement concerns. And then to top it off, to take actual resource violations that have been documented and all, and what you do, you take that information from the regular officers that are not in part of the commercial or community fisheries enforcement unit, and you incorporate that into your community fisheries enforcement unit tab to claim that they have done all this great work. That's corruption. So there is something about TMT that I'm looking back into my records here that we've scanned and I just about to locate it soon. You see, currently, as we predicted, you're going to see that there was a love affair with the protesters or occupiers or whatever. I don't know the word because one can have such negative connotations as another, but the people or the native people that are there objecting to what is currently proposed, they are there. And I was concerned, as always, the media courts you. And they get you and they have you out there and this is going to be a free fall. And then they'll go as far as saying, oh, he speaks eloquent, get him, you know. But at some point it plays out. They get tired, they being the media, because it doesn't have that zest. It's not zesty. So then you have to, and knowing this from many, many years of observing these things and being, going with the media and working, interacting with them, you see a dying off of interest. And then what will happen without knowledge, or it'll spring up these glossy commercials and glossy testimonials by people that have been plucked from the community. And then here recently, there's George R. Ariyoshi. Now, Governor Ariyoshi is associated with a requirement and a demand that they do a study to review the full impact, more better described as a carrying capacity, of Mauna Kea. The question is, was that ever done? So, Mr. Ariyoshi, if you're listening, what changed your mind? If you expressed concern that it needed to have an impact study and the carrying capacity of that mountain, what changed? So, it's unfortunate that the media, they will flock to these things in the early stages, and you have to fight like hell and beg like hell to get fair coverage. And I would say that one concern that I have with this all is that one pays, the other does not. One put beans on the table, the other does not. One is about the people, the other is about the cash. One is about telling you that we have had concerns all these years. The other tell you, well, look at them. They're being irrational. They can make a lot of money. We could bring a lot of money into this neighborhood and infuse it. And then that's where the screen comes in. And you run and hide because you know you're dealing with evil people. Because look around you. Look at the displacement of people that, because we're bringing in money, we're bringing in tourists. It was going to cause people's lives to change, and they're going, the local people. And guess what? Look at the negative effects it's having. The displacement. People are having to voyage to the other side of the world now just to live, that were local and native here. See, they know these things. So when the media say and play these stories, and there's Governor George Ariyoshi sitting there, I would say you should take what he has to say in a thimble and throw it out the window. Because before your eyes, you see the degradation, the corruption, the cost of living, the flushing out and the forcing people to change their whole lives, up flipping their lives over. So the big ball of wax is we have a problem. And the more I see of this and the corruption and the willingness to proclaim, it will bring you a lot of money. If you read some of the documents, there was expressed concerns that, look, how do you place a value? In one of the board meetings, there was a Pacheco, a member that was on the board at one time, and he raised the question, well, how much, when you say the value of Mauna Kea, how do you determine that when it's just natural land? Basically, I'm paraphrasing. How do you, oh, well, it's going to bring big money into the, it's going to bring big money into the community. But who going to receive the money? The 7-Eleven when they stop to get a little gas? Okay. The restaurant that they're going to hire a busboy, restaurant going to hire a waiter. And you and I know what's going on with waitresses and all and the hardship that they're facing to make a living. On many occasions, I try to discuss and chat with waiters around when I travel through the islands here. And I strike up conversation and say, hey, what, I see a lot of business here, a lot of tourism. And they look at you and say, well, it's not what it looks like. How so? Well, it first starts off, depends on how your workplace see tips, number one. And secondly, how much you get paid an hour, number two. And three, the worst insult there is that, and this is out of the waitress's mouth. I've heard it both on Big Island. I've heard it on Kauai. I've heard it here on Oahu. And that is, people, you think there's a debate that do you get to keep your tips and do you not get to keep your tips, or you have to share your tips with the rest of the people, whatever relationship. They say, first of all, you see a crowd of people sitting together in one party. Many occasions, more than normal or average, I'm told. They don't tip. So you may see 7, 8, 9 people coming off the beach half clad with towels wrapped around them. They hung, voracious appetite. They want to eat and drink and be merry. But they don't want to tip merry. So all this hullabaloo about, oh, it's going to build the environment. The economic environment. It's going to afford. Why can't you step back and say, let me not project on them and tell them, them being the native people, that there's money in those hills there. All we got to do is let you, let us tap into it and we can make you rich. Well, why the hell do I need to make myself rich when we already own it? And we're doing fine to be here every day to have to protest with you. So clearly something's missing. We don't want it. They don't want it. But you're telling us through the government, oh, it's going to help the economy. And then when the TMT people bring in their employees, they're going to need a place to stay. And some of them are going to want to buy a house here. And the market is already extremely high, the cost. So yet another splinter in the board is broken. And then you have Mauna Kea all over again. The Hawaiian people got nowhere else to go. I mean, you may not see them as Hawaiian people, but they are. And not seeing, you say that there's people of an independent nation, an independent, they're sovereign, but you don't treat them like that. You treat them as if they're customers or if they're people in your care, that you speak for them, you eat for them, you drink for them, and then you digest for them, and you then present to them the remains or the remnants of the party. It's not bead from Manhattan, but remnants of the party is about the equivalent of bees of Manhattan. So anyway, we'll talk to you, and in closing, I want to share with you from the TMT, and they have a safety manual. And they're on it, and I've mentioned parts of this before, but the following guidelines address a response to roadblocks, demonstrations, religious ceremonies, and other forms of worship or legal expression of points of view. General principles. Avoid confrontation. Avoid debates. Show restraint. Respect the opinions of others. Don't take it personally. Report incidents to headquarters. Types of protests. Roadblock and illegal blockage of traffic on a public road. Although illegal, it is important to avoid confrontation and respect the participants' rights to have their own point of view, following the guidelines below. Demonstration number 2. a legal form of protest on a public road not involving road blockage. Participants in a demonstration should be treated with respect. They have a right to their opinion and a right to protest. Unless the road is blocked, proceed past the demonstration with as little interaction with the participants as possible. Report unannounced demonstrations to a headquarters. Unannounced now. Didn't say illegal or unauthorized. It just says unannounced. Religious and cultural ceremony, a form of religious expression. Respect religious ceremonies even if they may cause some inconvenience. So that means if I go to want to drive by and the church down the street here is having a big Easter celebration and they parking everywhere on the grass, on the street, on the curb, not a fire hydrant, everywhere else. I'm supposed to, you know, like, don't pick up the phone and call the police and tell them that there's some obstruction of traffic here by the religious folks. Should, you know, be patient and understand that in some cases, individuals may leave shrines or other structures in place. In general, stay away from these and do not disturb them. Do not make a judgment that the shrine is inappropriate and remove it. If it is of concern, ask MKSS personnel to inspect it. How about that? See, they know that they have to tell these people to be sensitive because they don't have it in their heart. They don't have the respect for others. What to do in case of a roadblock? One, announced or otherwise anticipated roadblocks to protest or protest. The Hawaii County Civil Defense and the Hawaii County Police Department will be contacted. They will coordinate the various agencies that need to be involved, and a specific policy will be worked out prior to the event. Where did that all go on the day that they cut the flag? We're quick to abandon that. So that tells me that we should be concerned that David E. Gay and others have a financial interest in this directly or indirectly, or have relationships, associations with individuals that would cause them to be acting as such and failing to give the people due process, afford them due process. Cutting down the flag. That says to me, their statement was, we don't give a damn about your flag. We don't give a damn about you. Take it home. Get out of here. All this stuff about, quote, Hawaiian rights and Hawaiian culture, we ain't respecting it. That's what I saw, and that's what I see. And the TV stations, you courted these people when they first started, and you feel your evening news and your morning news and all that and the waves, and it was, and now you don't, the longevity and the stamina that you're existing seems like it's weaned. And that's not fair. You have a right and a responsibility to make profit, those investors of you. But you also have, you're the media, the fourth arm of government. You can't be involved in playing their fancy, sharp, glossy commercials and then turn around and be lethargic in responding to the people and giving them an opportunity. So each time that I would respectfully suggest that each time that you play your commercials, those glossy commercials in support, that you give equal time. Well, they don't pay, but you have the right to assess, well, is this for money purposes? Is this an investment on the part of TMT to make money? If so, it's not just them coming in here. It's a business. Give the people a right. It's impacting them. I saw Mr. Blangiardi on TV speaking about how he how they should get on with building the TMT. Again, he has a right to say that, but when you're receiving payment from these people and you're not giving the sufficient time or compatible time or equal time, one is paying, one is not. But you're the fourth arm of government. If the people are saying the government has failed it and its actions are improper, you should be covering that. So if, in fact, Mr. Ariyoshi is favorable to being part of this campaign to build TMT, you should, when he shows up in the commercial, you should have a rebuttal on the part of the public expressing concerns. Thank you for joining me, and I appreciate you all listening. And go to carolcox.com for anything of information you want to check on this. And go to my Facebook, Carol Cox, and give us a like and give us a share that article on the tickets without license, the DLNR. So go ahead and I title it, Who's Driving DLNR? Aloha, and thank you for joining me, and I'll talk to you next week. Aloha.